Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We spent the first part of this week talking about how to keep our children faithful. We want our children to come to be Christians. We want them to obey the gospel of Christ. But we want to keep them in the faith, that they may be loyal and faithful to Christ, because that's essential to going to heaven. And we talk about the things that parents can do that will help bring our children to Christ and also help to keep them faithful once they are in Christ. But we're also saddened by the reality that it doesn't always turn out that way. I want to spend a couple of lessons on what to do when children go wrong. You know, most anything regarding our children, it tugs at our hearts, doesn't it? Some things that I'm going to say may be disturbing to some people, but what I have to say is not to condemn anybody. I want to try to encourage those who have had the sad situation of their children going wrong, and also to encourage those who still have the opportunity to rear their children properly. Now, what I'm going to say, it may be a source of consolation and comfort to some whose children have disappointed them, but certainly I don't want to add to your hurt, because I know you're hurt. I would like to offer some help. What I say may not help, but I certainly want to try. I'm going to approach this mostly from the parent's point of view and what a parent might do when children go wrong. It's not uncommon anymore to hear about a son who has become involved maybe with drugs, a daughter who gets pregnant out of wedlock, or young people who have quit the church or maybe even never come to the church, and some just run away from home. And others who have grown to maturity, but they ruined their marriage? Well, it seems then that all the efforts that godly parents have made to try to rear their children properly, all their efforts have been wasted, doesn't it? And the children seem to have turned against their parents, and they've turned against their training, and we wonder why. Now, what I'm talking about, these things are real, are they not? And they're far too frequent. We must realize, friend, as Peter taught in 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 8, be sober, be diligent, for your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You see, the Christian is the devil's mission field, so to speak. And he does everything that he can to keep us from being a Christian. And if we do become a Christian, to keep us from being faithful. Now, many people are severely hurting today because their children have gone wrong. They're carrying great burdens in their heart. And it's because they're really disappointed in their children. Oh, yes, they may take pride in their children in some matters, but such is not true in the most important matter, and that's the children's loyalty to God. The parents has tried, but now they're deeply hurt, and much of the joy of life is drained from them when they realize their children have gone astray from the Lord. Dear friend, if you're listening today and this be your lot, let me tell you that you are not alone. Now, I know that says that you are not alone does not necessarily relieve any of the sorrow in your heart, but that doesn't necessarily bring comfort to anybody. I just bring that out because that's a fact. It happens to a lot of families. Now, parents, when that happens, usually burden themselves with a great deal of self-guilt. They ask the question, where did we go wrong in rearing our child? Well, many times they did not go wrong, but sometimes they might have gone wrong. but they have regret. They don't understand why things are as they are. Now, as we have mentioned before, Proverbs 22:6 places a great responsibility on the parent, as does Ephesians 6 and verse 4, to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And some surely have failed to do that. And as a result, their children have gone wrong. That's possible. But the parent may not always be totally at fault every time when the child goes wrong. The child, as we have tried to emphasize, is responsible for his own life. He must go the way that he is trained. Now, doing one's parental duty does not deprive the child of his power of personal choice, and it doesn't take away his personal responsibility. If one could not behave contrary to his rearing, it would be impossible to convert a person who was reared in sin and bring him to righteousness. Yes, he can leave that which he has been taught. Now, this does not at all minimize parental duty, but it does say loud and clear that it is not always the parent alone who is at fault. And possibly, friend, the parent is not at fault at all. So much depends upon the child, and it depends upon other influences that come into the life of the child over which the parent has no control. Now, finger-pointing and assigning blame when a child goes wrong, that may seem very inappropriate, but it is well to notice our parental duties in their own behavior and example and teaching. You know, friend, even God does not keep his children faithful unless the child cooperates with God. And if God does not do that, and he cannot do that, how do we expect to do that? Our children must cooperate with what they've been taught. Now, there are, as we have taught before, no perfect parent, and there's not going to be any perfect children. But when a parent has been at fault, he or she needs to repent and to seek God's forgiveness for themselves. Now, it may be too late to change the direction of the child, but the parent's soul can still be saved. The consequences may always be suffered by both parent and child for a certain amount of parental failure, just like suffering will be caused by the child's lack of cooperation with their training. But now, whoever is at fault, and whatever fault that might be, that fault can be forgiven when God's terms are met in humble obedience. You see, assigning blame, that's not necessarily helpful at this point when the child has gone wrong. Wrong has been done somewhere when anybody goes wrong. But where do we go from here? That's the question. We can't undo what's been done. Can things be better? Will they be better? You see, we have to start now from where we are. And let us make a few suggestions that are assured, are practical, they're workable. Now, the suggestions I'm going to bring to you in this lesson and also tomorrow, they're not to be viewed as solutions to the problem. There's only one solution to the problem. Only repentance and the return of the child on his part to the fold of God, that's the solution to the problem. But now, parents, don't burn all your bridges. Try to maintain some contact with the wayward child. How can you be an influence for good if there is a total void of communication, and harsh words and barriers and bitterness will only aggravate the situation? Now, this does not mean to leave the impression that you condone their unfaithfulness. You should never do that. It may not be easy, seeing the keen disappointment that you have, to keep from constantly reminding your child of his neglect. But when you know so clearly right from wrong, And you know your child knows the difference between right and wrong, but he doesn't live accordingly. That's not an easy situation. The entire situation is not one that loans itself to comfort and ease and happiness. Anger and argument and cutting words, they may not be productive. They may be helpful at times, but they were not necessarily helpful for the restoration of the child, and that's the goal. Now, if you of a parent have missed your opportunity by your own fault and neglect, ask God to forgive you. If you have been guilty of making matters worse since your child went astray, ask God to forgive you. But don't ever give up on your child. There may be times when you feel you are losing the battle, but you cannot afford to give up, for then you have truly met defeat. To not give up, it must be very trying sometimes, because the child may be so totally ruined that there seems to be no way of reconciliation between him and God, or even between the child and the parent. Many parents have just about lost hope that one or more of their children may ever come to Christ. But still the parent must hope. He must continue to work, not only for his own welfare, but for that of the child. And you keep in mind, your child may not act like he's disappointed in himself, but very likely he is. An all spark of desire to do what is right, however, may not be extinguished. You may not live to see the day when your child comes to Christ, or when your child is restored to Christ. Many people are not converted until later in life, after faithful parents have already gone to their reward, and they've died with their hearts grieved because their children are not saved. But if you will persist and never give up, possibly this will in time so influence your child that he will favorably respond to the Lord's call to become a Christian or to be restored if he's fallen away. Now, we realize the reality. It's possible that he or she may never come and do what's right. But many have, and your child may also come back if they have strayed away. But you can't afford to give up on them. Your desire and your hope for them may be the only avenue and source of hope for your child right now. You see, dear friend, it's such a trying situation. Here a little baby is born into the family. The father and mother are so proud and so happy, and they do what they can, possibly, to rear that child correctly. As we have mentioned, sometimes parents don't do what is right. But when they have tried to teach them the way of the Lord, and the child goes astray and departs from that which they have been taught, and they have the power to do that, because they're responsible and they can make their own decisions, then we must try as best we can to either restore that child to Christ if he's once come to him, or continue to teach when it's proper and in the right attitude and the right tone to bring that child to Christ. It may well be that it won't happen in your lifetime, but it may well be that they will come to the Lord before their lifetime is over. We're going to continue our discussion tomorrow about when children go wrong. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.